And welcome to Grounded with Brandon and Craig. My name is Brandon.
And I'm Craig.
Yes, you are. Hey.
At least today you're not the sun.
I was the moon. Oh. You were the sun.
No. You said you were the sun. I was the moon.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because we're going to eclipse you, remember?
You were. That's right.
Speaking of the eclipse.
It's been a week. I forgot.
Speaking of the eclipse, I will tell you that I really, all the hype, I was kind of.
You were one of those people.
Yeah, I was not happy about, because I was like, the hype, it's like so hyped up. But I'm going to be honest with you. That was like a very great experience.
Once in a lifetime.
Uh-huh. It was great. Grandkids were in. It was 3:12 in the afternoon, dark.
Birds got quiet.
Yep.
Like, I looked over.
Crickets chirping, lights popping on.
Yeah, we went to my in-laws just because there was less trees than at my house. And I was like, I don't want the trees to get in the way. Like, I want to be able to enjoy this. And I looked over like 15, 20 minutes before like totality. And like across the creek, there went 3 deer running. I'm like, okay, are they getting weirded out by the change?
Right, they're going to bed down for the night.
Well, and here's the truth. Is like,
they're like, 5 minutes later, like, wow, that was a short night.
I didn't even get any rest. Like the rooster we were talking about from Peter Rabbit. The sun came up again.
Oh, gosh. Here we go.
but no, it was like, so through my years of hunting, I've noticed like the moon and moon phases play a huge role in animal activities.
Mm-hmm.
And like I've heard people talk about that, about how like when the moon is up in the sky, and it's still daylight, so either morning or evening when the moon comes up and it's still daylight, deer will get on their feet more often in those times. And it has something to do with the gravitational pull. So I'm thinking that possibly those deer were running because of just the changes that were taking place.
Right.
But you were right. Like, I loved hearing my kids, like, when it happened.
Yeah, right.
Because, like, leading up to it, like, they'd come over, grab their glasses, look up at the eclipse and be like, oh, it's getting closer. And then they go back to like throwing frisbee, I think is what they were doing at that point. But then when that happened, like you heard the gasp, like, oh,
yeah.
Ooh. I mean, it was almost like fireworks on the 4th of July.
Yeah, it was really amazing. And then when you got to take your glasses off and look.
Yes.
Yeah, oh my goodness. That was really, and it didn't last long.
No, it did not last long. Seems like it's going to be a long time, but it was like, oh, it's over.
It didn't even seem like 3 minutes.
I know.
It went fast because I was like, when it was starting to pull out of it again, I'm like, oh, I could have gone for an hour like this. This is just amazing.
It was cool.
It was really cool. I mean, it's amazing when you look at that because that's a part of the creation, you know,
yes.
And I'm astounded and amazed of what you see and how God continually works. It's like as many times as I've been to the Smoky Mountains.
Right.
Yep. I'm always amazed and in awe
of, beauty,
even in the same mountains that I've seen for 20 years. Mm-hmm. I'm just amazed because you're like, wow, this is deep and vast. And, and I love going at different times.
Right.
We'll go in the fall, we'll go in the spring, we'll go in the summer. And, there's so many things that it's a different look each time. You're just like, wow, this is just phenomenal. So, I hear the next eclipse is, for us, full totality is 2099.
2099.
So, I plan when we're podcasting that day,
I'll be 114.
How about if when we're podcasting that day, you're the moon and I'll be the sun?
Perfect.
You'll be how old?
114.
That'll make me 134.
Maybe I'll be running marathons.
Maybe.
Setting world records.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Dude, if I'm sitting here in this room at 134, I don't even know what I'm going to do. I mean, seriously, I'd be like, well, we're in the next sermon series.
Right. Welcome to episode 3,458,000.
We did the 100 episodes last summer. You'd be like, we've been doing 100 years of ground.
Exactly.
All right. So now, we got that out of the way. We have been drinking some really good coffee this
morning. New coffee to us.
New coffee. And, it is actually, again, Willie approved and,
yes,
not Nelson, but Stolfus. And how do you pronounce that last name?
Stolfus.
Yeah. I got it right. Okay.
I think Willie Nelson would approve too, though.
Do you?
I don't even know if he likes coffee.
Dude, what are you doing?
I'm watching the Boston Marathon.
How about if you just podcast?
I'm watching.
Can I watch the baseball game?
No, there's nothing on.
From 1975.
Oh, yeah, you could.
Okay. So anyway, we're drinking the new coffee, and I can't remember the name of it.
It is Blackout Coffee.
Not Black Rifle, but Blackout.
Blackout. I've got their website up. What does it say there?
It says, be awake, not woke.
There you go.
Get some coffee. It's run out your chair. Get some coffee with value.
With value. Values.
Values, yeah.
So this one, we actually have three different brews.
Ooh.
Three different ones, roasts to try.
Which one do we have today?
The dark roast. It's called Brutal Awakening.
See, you gotta love a dark roast that says brutal in it.
And I love how it's spelled. And you know, brutal is normally spelled B-R-U-T-A-L. This is B-R-E-W, brutal.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, brutal. That's clever.
Very clever. I love punny people.
Did you say punny?
Punny. Yeah.
So that's what we're drinking today. Mm-hmm. And we had a shot of espresso.
And that was Waken the Neighbors.
Wow. It's been a good, strong morning.
Waken the Neighbors.
Yeah.
Brutal Awakening. We're awake. Not woke.
I actually needed that. And we are awake, not woke. So we got a couple more to try.
Yeah. So they also have the medium roast is Morning Reaper.
Morning Reaper.
And the light roast is Smooth Finish.
Wow. I do like the dark roast.
It's very good.
It's very good. I actually had two cups this morning. I normally don't do that. So it was super good. So, love trying new coffees.
You had your espresso in your coffee. I drank my espresso straight.
You did. And, it was really good in the coffee.
I saw a thing last night, on Facebook. And it was like order, which I would just make my own, but it was like order like a large, order two shots of espresso over ice in a large cup. Like a
two cold shots of espresso over ice
in a large
and cup. A large cup.
And then take like a Premier protein or like I drink Muscle Milk protein.
Okay.
And dump in it and it makes like an iced coffee.
Really?
With like 30 grams of protein and like 1 gram of sugar.
Really?
Sounds good. I'd try it.
Hmm.
But I don't know how my chocolate... I mean, chocolate would be okay, I guess.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that would be...
Put a little bit of almond milk in there?
Maybe. So two shots of espresso. Okay. I don't have an espresso machine at home, so...
We could make it here. You drink Premier Protein, right?
I do Core, Premier.
Yeah.
I do Muscle Milk.
Muscle Milk. I like Muscle Milk.
Yeah, I do.
You can get it from Costco cheaper than
I like the Core because there's 42 grams of protein in that. Mm-hmm. And so I like that a lot because that's a big shot of protein.
That is a lot of protein. Yeah.
And
it's tough to get the amount of protein you need in a day.
Yeah. I mean, cause, you need almost a pound for whatever you weigh.
And,
so.
Not a pound.
A gram. A gram.
A gram.
Sorry, not
per
a pound.
Pound.
Not a pound.
A gram per
you
pound.
You have to take in 150 pounds of protein today. That's like a side of deer for you.
Right?
No, it's a gram. So like you would need 150, at least 150
grams
of protein. Which is hard to get down. That's a hard chuck down unless you're like, taking some aids with the, aiding yourself with protein drinks.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the protein bars because I just don't like the way they taste.
They're very gritty,
they're chalky. Plus sometimes they're
chalky.
It might say 32 grams of protein, but there might be 60 grams of, carbs.
Carbs,
you're like,
and
holy
the sugar,
cow. Yeah.
And it's like they add way too much.
Yeah,
stuff.
You pick it up and it's like picking up a piece of rock or something like that. Right. So, not a big fan of those.
Agreed.
Now, I like Core because Core is about, right around 280, 300 calories.
It's not too bad.
42 grams of protein and like 1 gram of carbs and no sugar in it, and it's really good and it's not heavy and chalky like some of these drinks are. So
isn't there good protein in avocados?
Could be. I think there's a little bit of protein in that, but avocados is good for your joints.
Yes.
And
I had
so,
an avocado and two pieces of whole wheat toast today.
I'm sorry, but anyway,
wow, it was good.
Yeah, I do like avocado. I need to eat more avocados. I mean, they're kind of hard to find good ones in the wintertime here in Ohio, but we should start finding some really good ones. Cause I eat a lot.
They're starting to get good. Yeah.
I eat a lot of avocados in the, during the summer, and it does help with like joint pain. And they say it's supposed to help with headaches and things like that. So they say you should eat at least an avocado or two a day, but those things are expensive.
They're not cheap.
Nothing's cheap.
True. Yeah, we went to Walmart the other day.
Bidenomics. Here we go. Here, let's talk about that. Yeah, let's talk about that.
We went to Walmart the other day. I sent you the thing. It was like, I really don't like to talk about expensive trips I take, but I just got back from the grocery store.
Yeah, Walmart.
Yeah. $100. We didn't buy anything.
You can't go to Walmart. You can't get out of Walmart for under $100. I don't understand it.
Allie and I carried everything out, like once we checked out.
In your pockets.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I know.
Like, we left our cart. It was like, yeah, we don't need to take this to the car.
Exactly.
Carry the bags.
It's like one bag and a half. Okay, awesome. How much did we pay for that?
Yeah, it's like, I don't mean to brag, but I can carry 100 pounds of groceries with my pinky.
Exactly. My goodness. So,
yeah.
But I don't know where we were going with all this, but we rabbit trailed, but
yeah.
That happens a lot here.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, what were we talking about? We're talking about protein. We were talking about
avocados.
Oh, we started with the coffee. We went to the espresso with the protein drinks, and that's where we
went. And then we went to my breakfast.
And we went to your breakfast, yeah. So
there we go. Mm-hmm. Full circle.
So it's been a beautiful, beautiful weather.
How many
the
days?
The wind yesterday was the wind crazy.
The wind was crazy.
But it was like 82.
It was. It did get up in the 80s.
Yeah, I was here all day at church, literally in this building, so I didn't get to enjoy it much. But this morning is gorgeous. There's no wind.
Mm-mm.
I mean, if it's blowing, it's hardly blowing. Today's supposed to be like, I saw a high of like 74.
Which means we'll get up to the upper 70s because they always miss it.
They miss it by two or three. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And tomorrow's supposed to be 76.
Yep.
So the weather.
Chance of rain later this week, but nothing like we've had. Like, I don't think like all day rain, just showers.
So if I have 14 days a year that, the weather is perfect for me. I think today is going to be that day. So, you know what? We're down to 10 days.
That's what I was going to ask, what the number was down
to. We're going to be down to 10, pretty sure. So, and then good luck with the rest of the time because it's going to be too hot, too cold, too muggy, too this, too rainy, too windy, too that.
I noticed when you were talking about going to the Smoky Mountains, you mentioned we go in the spring, we go in the summer, we go in the fall. You never mentioned the W word.
Which is
winter.
Winter.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's a bad word in your
You know, I wouldn't mind household. Going in the winter, though, to be honest with you.
That would be beautiful.
That one might be cool to see some snow in the mountains, you know. I mean,
oh, yeah.
I could live with that. So how's it going with you guys? You guys doing well, getting out?
Yeah. No, it's great. I'm loving this weather finally. I'm going to go for a run here in a little bit. And then I think we're all going to go out once the kids get out of school. Allie's done with work and whatnot. We may just go to the trail in Marysville. So we may see you if you get out on your bike.
I'm planning on getting out today. First time. I gotta get the bike going. So,
we may go to Glacier Ridge. I went to Glacier Ridge Friday morning.
Okay.
I ran in a monsoon.
Dude, that's like sitting down outside and putting a gun to your foot and pulling the trigger. That's self-inflicted. Just like, hey, I just want to see what this feels like. I'm going to see what this feels like. Pull the trigger. Bam. I want to see what it feels like to run on this trail at 41 degrees, the wind blowing at 30 miles an hour and raining. So that's,
it was upper 40s, but it was, the wind was blowing
miserable
and it was raining.
Miserable on those pictures.
It was fine until I was running into the wind.
Ugh.
And then it felt like I was running with a parachute.
Yeah.
Behind me. But it was good.
So the same day I wear that big oversized jacket. And so I walked outside and I don't know how the wind did this, but it got like filled my jacket up and it was like, poof. I felt like one of those
sumo wrestlers.
I looked like one of those, the Macy parade.
Yes, the balloons.
Yeah, balloons. That's exactly what I felt like. Like,
I wish I had a rope tied to your ankle. I could
exactly.
Have
and then, you know, the wind was blowing so hard that my faux hawk bent to the one side. I'm like, oh, this is awesome. So
right? Goodness. Yeah. It was crazy, but it was good. I got 11 miles in that weather. So
they say
what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Mm-hmm. I've heard that's not always true because something sets you back, but
that's true. I just, that would not be enjoyable to me. And, I would be complaining for days. but
you do that anyways.
Oh, come on.
What? Just being honest.
Only when the weather is bad.
Only, yeah.
Only.
Only.
So we, good day yesterday, really, really good attendance in the morning and, really great to see a lot of new faces. I mean, the faces that are coming in are, I mean, I'm always like, who's that? Who's that? I mean,
yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah. And then, we had pizza with the staff yesterday. That was awesome.
That was
and
good.
Got to, meet a few people. I know mm-hmm. they've been coming here, but got to visit with people that I just see in passing. And, so that was neat to get to set, I sat at one of the tables and talked to them yeah. and that was, yep. that was, good. And, thank you to Allison. If you're listening, getting everything set up for the pizza. I know, it's stressful sometimes, but you did a great job. Everything went smooth. So I really appreciate it. And then, last night we did, our first, marriage session. That was awesome. That was really good. Everybody seemed to have a fun time, a lot of laughter, a lot of discussion.
It was loud in there.
It was loud.
But loud in a good way.
Yes.
Like just the conversations and the laughter. And
yes.
So the marriage series is called?
The Crazy Cycle.
Crazy Cycle.
Yeah.
And it was good. It was like we had a good discussions at our table and that was the consensus. I heard that kind of all around.
Yeah.
The discussions were really good.
Yeah, I thought so too. And so that was really, really neat. So thank you. If you guys are listening, anybody who's listening that came, I hope you come back.
Three more weeks.
It's going to go just like that. And, but I, it was just, it was good because, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Don't you think sometimes that, number one, we all, no matter how long you've been married, you get on the crazy cycle and it's like, it's almost like you're pitting one against the other. Nobody wants to be there.
Nope.
And so how do you get off this? So I think I really like his thing. You know, what do you do when the issue is not the issue?
That.
Isn't that cool?
And that happens more often than not.
Yes.
When you get in a conversation, discussion, argument, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
And more often than not, the issue at hand isn't even the issue at all because
exactly.
you've suppressed the issue.
Exactly.
And we talked about that. It was good.
Yeah. And we had, and I loved it because we were, I think the oldest couple there was your in-laws,
mm-hmm.
43 years. And then we had a couple that was married
10 months.
So we're, all over the spectrum. Yeah. So I thought that was really good.
I know and, I told you earlier, like Allie and I were the old married couple at our table.
Well, that's, you better get used to that because you guys are the old married couple.
The old, longer we, yeah, I know.
Yeah. It was nice to be at your in-laws table because we weren't the old married couple.
Right. Exactly.
Now we were close.
You were close.
I think we were second in line, to be honest, in the room.
Yep.
They're at 43.
Mm-hmm.
No, maybe not. Maybe Willie and Faith.
39.
They're 39. Yeah. They're 1 year
ahead of you.
About one ahead of us. Yeah. So we're down the line. We're third
They've
place.
They've been married. Willie and Faith have been married as long as I've been alive.
This is true. I think Anita and I got married, 3 months after you were born?
June.
You were born in March?
Yeah.
Yeah. June. We got married in June, yeah.
Yep.
So we're coming up on 39 years. So, mm-hmm. so yeah, it was really good. I mean, there was, the Terrells are over 30 years. Your in-laws are, you know, 43 mm-hmm. years. Wyatt and Sue say 35?
Yeah.
36, 30, something like that. Yeah, it was really cool. And then, you know, Willie and Faith, and then the rest of them are 16, 10, 12, mm-hmm. which really good. So, really good night and looking forward to the next
I am too.
Session.
So. I am too. It's going to be good.
So we had a great day yesterday. Thought the worship was good. Thought everybody was singing. The second service was packed.
It was.
And, it was just packed.
Okay. So
yeah,
I thought I was going to have to lay the hammer down after first service. We're singing. You're done with your message. We're singing like we're in a really intimate, like song singing All Who Are Thirsty. And I looked down. And my father-in-law and my son are talking and pointing and just making all of this commotion. And my father-in-law is like grabbing a Bible out from behind the pew. And I have no idea what they're doing. And Christian's looking at him and he's pointing to his hand and all this stuff. And I'm like, what is going on? And I'm like waiting to catch eyes with either one of them. Like, you guys are being distracting. And then I catch motion of something land right in front of Adrian's microphone stand, and I looked down, Yellow Jacket. And so I put two and two together. Tom was pointing at his hand. The Yellow Jacket was on his back, I guess, and he felt it, and he reached backwards.
Okay.
And it stung his hand.
That's what he said. He showed me after church. I mean, he literally had a mark.
And then I'm praying for communion, and Adrian killed it. She stepped on it.
That's what I heard.
And so I told you that, and you said, well, she had plenty of time.
She did. 12-minute prayer. She, like me, unlike me, I don't go over time. I keep everything in motion.
Really? Yeah. So your numbers were, I mean, when you're colorblind, it's easy to say that.
Yeah.
Your numbers were red yesterday.
Really? I thought they were green.
They weren't.
Okay.
They were at one point.
Yeah.
Until they weren't. You weren't too bad though. We were out on time.
Yeah, we were. So yeah, that was crazy. So let me ask you a question. You said it was a Yellow Jacket?
I think so. It looked like
it. What is a bumblebee? Okay. The smaller bees are what? What are those small ones?
The little tiny, like the thin ones, but long, are hornets.
Okay. What's a, you said it was a Yellow Jacket. What's
yellow
a Yellow Jacket?
They're kind of big.
That's what you said. Yellow Jacket?
Yeah.
Okay. What's the big ones? The big ones that are like fuzzy and they fly through.
The fuzzy ones are bumbles.
Bumblebees? Mm-hmm. Okay. And a Yellow Jacket is the next one down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's what stung him, was in a Yellow Jacket? Uh-huh. Oh my
god. And those
goodness.
Things hurt too.
Yeah, that's like a wasp.
Yeah. The wasp are they're skinnier.
Yeah, wasps.
Yellow jackets are a little thicker around the middle.
I don't know the purpose of a wasp, do you?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Which ones live in the ground? Hornets.
Hornets, yeah.
So a hornet. I didn't realize.
Thank you guys for joining us for Grounded on the life cycle of bees and.
I didn't realize when I was younger that hornets lived in the ground.
Right.
And I was outside one day playing with a dartboard, had it hanging on a tree, and I had a dart and there was a hole there. And I thought, oh, it's a snake hole or whatever. I took the dart and threw it down the hole. I got lit up.
I bet you did.
I'm running back to the house, like just trying to get the bees off of me.
Yeah, because
like,
they just
my
like
ears,
they swarm
my
you,
face,
don't they?
Everything lit up.
Yeah, they swarm you, don't they? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're like.
And then I run over one when I was mowing my pawpaw's grass once, and I had to bail. Like, thankfully, like when you get off of a lawnmower
right?
seat, it's got the you know where it will turn off automatic shut off.
Yeah,
I had to bail because they started lighting me up on that too.
Oh
once.
Gosh, it's crazy. So yeah, that was the, you never know what's going on at church, you know, never know what's happening. Bumblebees, Yellow Jackets, singing, whatever. So, but, good day yesterday. Great weather. Just good to see everybody.
Yeah.
And it was a good spirit too. So you all right?
Send in a Snapchat.
Oh gosh. This guy. So. Yesterday, what was it? Our third week in the series or second? Second week, right?
Second week.
Second week, yes. Second week into the series. So, and we talked about running the race in perilous times. And again, we started off with the scripture. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. So I love this part. Run to win.
Run.
And I think that, you know, when you're in a race, don't you run to win? I mean, uh-huh. don't you want to win? Okay, so that's really good. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. Now, that's really cool because I didn't spend much time on that yesterday, but if you think about it, you're competing for something that's not going to last forever.
Exactly.
But we do it for an eternal prize, which is onward after this life.
Correct.
So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I like that. And so, I read this next verse in 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, because I think that we need to run in difficult times and perilous times is what I said, because, we went off this passage where, the apostle Paul tells Timothy, know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. This is a lot, isn't it? Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. This is the big part. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away.
Yeah. And here's the truth. Like, I'm sure through the years, ever since the time this scripture was penned and put on paper, you could say, wow, that's this generation.
Right.
But you read that and it's like, wow, that's this generation.
Exactly.
And yeah. and you made a great point yesterday of saying, you know, Paul's not talking about the world.
He's not.
He's talking about Christ followers.
He's talking about us. He's
talking about us.
Perilous times are going to come because you and I, the church is not doing. This is what the church is doing. Correct. This is not what the world's doing.
Exactly.
This is what the church is doing. And so, this is a huge statement right here when he says, having a form of godliness. Now, you know what that means. It's like you pretend, you act. It's not true.
You're putting on a front,
but you deny the power of God.
Yeah.
And so that happens a lot today. Mm-hmm. And, so I looked at 2 Timothy a little bit later, a few verses down, verses 16 and 17. All scripture, had everybody say all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong. It teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. And so, I pointed out yesterday that when the Apostle Paul wrote this to Timothy, he's actually languishing in a prison in Rome, and he doesn't have much longer to live. And so when the Apostle Paul says, in the last days, perilous times will come, I mean, he's literally talking about the last days, and people are like, well, what do you mean by the last days? We've been talking about the last days forever. And I
loved this, too.
Put it as simply as I could. The last days is when Jesus ascended into heaven between that time and his return. So we're in the last days. So at the minute that Jesus went back into heaven, in the ascension, we went into the last days. Yeah. So that's about as simply as that's the cliff noted version of the last days. So, so Paul's warning Timothy that he needs to stay away from certain types of people because they're living these lives that, they're not acting like God is real and the judgment of God is real and there's no consequences to the way they live. It's kind of what he said there. They have this form of godliness, but there's really nothing true about them. And so 2 Timothy 3:9, he says they won't get away with this for long. Someday everyone will recognize what fools they are. And we're going to recognize that. So I didn't read this part, but I love that the Apostle Paul really tells Timothy, you know, remember how you were taught. Remember the truth that you were taught. Remember how you have grown up. And so Paul's trying to get Timothy to not just talk about the faith and watch the faith, but him to actually live the faith. And these are two different things, or three different things. Would you agree? It's kind of like we can talk about the faith of God. We can talk about it. We can watch it. I mean, I can talk about faith, and I can watch you live your faith.
Right.
But that's different than me.
You know what they say?
Picking up the faith.
I mean, I don't know how long this phrase has been around, but talk is cheap.
Right.
You know, and so to talk about it, that's one thing, but until you put it into action.
Exactly.
You know, and I think the New Testament is just full of that.
Exactly.
You know, and you talked yesterday about, you know, in James, we did that a few years ago.
Yep.
And kind of the overarching theme in James is know the word. And do the word. It's not enough just to know the word. It's not enough to do this, to talk, you know, to have the knowledge. But if you don't put that knowledge into practice, if you don't live it out, then it's just knowledge.
Well, yesterday I said there's, you know, are you like this, where there's parts of the Bible you absolutely love?
Oh, yeah.
It encourages me. It makes me feel good. It boosts me. It gives me a shot in the arm. But then there's parts of the Bible that, I'm going to be honest with you, I hate.
It's like...
I hate it.
Like Looney Tunes. Like you feel like that stinking anvil been dropped on your head.
Boing.
Yeah.
Like, right?
Thanks, God.
Yeah. So, and I absolutely don't like it because here's the thing. If somebody mistreats me, if somebody lies about me, somebody spreads gossip about me, guess what? The scripture tells me, God's word tells me that what? I am to forgive that person.
Right.
I don't want to forgive them. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be honest with you. It takes a long time to forgive that person, but I have to do this. So God's word is, you know, what we talked about in James is a mirror that I look into, and it reflects what I'm doing. So, you know, if the thing about it is that we love to pat ourselves on the back right. about the things that we're doing well. Oh, we're doing great at this. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm following this to a T, but literally, are you forgiving your brother and sister right. in Jesus Christ? Are you gossiping about them? Are you stirring dissension in the church, in mm-hmm. your home and at work? Cause you know what? Those are all sins. Exactly. I'm sorry.
Yep.
I mean, those are actually, sins. Did you know that being a coward is a sin too? I mean, that's a sin. I mean, so there's all kinds of things that we give ourselves a free pass on. And so, and you already mentioned James,
yep.
James 1,
22 through
24. You want
to
read it?
Sure. Don't just listen to God's word. And I love that you had these two words. You must do what it says. You had those underlined.
Yep.
Otherwise, you are only fooling who? Yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like.
Exactly.
And I love what he says, what James says here is like, you know, otherwise you're only fooling yourselves.
Exactly.
Like, you can, and I think we do that so often, it's like, oh no, I'm good with that.
Right.
I'm good with that, but right. people around you can, you know, it's kind of like the old adage, you know, if it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's right. a duck. Like,
exactly.
People are going to see, you know, oh, they're saying that, but they're not living that.
Well, and the thing that, about James is that, you know, we do look at the parts of the Bible that I like, and uh-huh. then, but he's also saying that, you know, you have to do all this. I mean, you look into the mirror of God's word and you see where you're at, because sometimes if you're really honest with yourself, and I mean, you have to be super honest with yourself. Mm-hmm. You don't like your reflection.
Exactly.
And you can read God's word, or say you can hear God's word. Say yep. you hear something preached. And so what people have a tendency to do is get mad at the messenger.
Right. right.
And not the...
I like to get mad at you sometimes.
Well, you can do that. Yeah. That's happened once or twice.
Right.
But they get mad at the message, but because, you know, it is what it is. We don't like the reflection that we see. And we have to remember this. The good parts that I like and the parts that are convicting me, all scripture.
All scripture.
All scripture. All scriptures. Useful. Yes.
Yeah.
And you got to pay attention to it. And so, you know, we have to remember that if we pay attention to this, God is going to equip us to, for what? Every good work, and get us to a place that yeah. we need to be. But so, but I think a lot of times Christians don't run the race with the right mindset. We run kind of in apathy.
Mm-hmm.
We run victimized. We yep. run like we're just rolling through the motions. And
you know, you talked about kind of running the race looking backwards. Like, you can't do that.
No, you can't do that. I mean, well, I like, for instance, if you know, you like the Braves, you like North Carolina, and if the Braves, you went to, say you drove to Atlanta, you spent all the money to drive to Atlanta, get yep. a hotel room, you spent the tickets, you ate the food, you know, you're going to drop probably $500 or $600 to go to this game. Am I right? So you drop this money, and the Braves come out on the field and they're lackluster.
Yeah.
They're rolling through the motions. They're not running out ground balls. Adam Duvall's just slugging it in the left field. He's not catching the balls, thrown yeah. to the wrong base. You're going to be lit up, because mm-hmm. that's an apathetic baseball team. Their mindset is not right. Somewhere along the line, they've gotten their mind that yep. this is what it is. And so, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, I know you like this verse.
I do,
so.
Yeah.
But he says, don't copy the behaviors and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. This is so huge. By changing the way that you what?
Think.
Then you're going to learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. Now, here's the thing. A lot of us need a different mindset.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I again, I'm not on Facebook. I hear what people post on Facebook. There's like, woe is me. Mm-hmm. I'm going through this. Your mindset needs to change. You need to get a different mindset. You need to allow uh-huh. God to change, because you're actually going on your mindset. And here's what you're doing. You're having a form of godliness, but you're denying the power exactly. of God.
Yep.
So you need not to deny the power of God mm-hmm. and live in victory. You're not meant to live and to post like that.
Right.
I love what Greg Laurie said. I love Greg Laurie.
This was good. He said the Christian community needs a new mindset, because if we allow God to transform us, that means the old way of life has no root in my mind any longer. We are radically changed by God's Spirit.
And I love the word radically.
Yeah.
It means it's almost like a harsh turnaround. It's a it's like a rip the Band-Aid off and let's get this done. So
exactly.
So basically, Paul, when he's writing to this church in Romans, he's telling them, you know, don't let the world affect your mindset.
Yes.
Don't let the world and the culture, because the culture in his day was not good either.
No.
You know, because I said yesterday,
a lot really hasn't changed.
No, not at all. It's just the way our mm-hmm. mind goes mm-hmm. and the actions. I said yesterday, there's two cultures today. One is the carnal culture.
Yes.
That's the way of the world. That's where people are lovers of themselves, lovers of money. They're selfish. And Paul tells Timothy, you have nothing to do with them and right. don't follow that. The second culture is the kingdom of God culture. And that's the kingdom that you and I are supposed to live in.
Yep.
And we run with our eyes on Jesus Christ. We're controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit. We run with our eyes on the goal, because that kingdom is never going to fade or perish.
Right.
So think about this. You and I can live in the kingdom of God here on this planet. Mm-hmm. And when we die, we're still in the kingdom of God.
Yes.
It doesn't just switch gears because I died and now I'm living in heaven.
Right.
You should be living in the kingdom of God here, mm-hmm. right now, today. And this goes back to Romans 12, 2. You know, let God transform you to a new person by changing the way that you think. That was so hard for me to say for some reason. I don't know why my tongue got stuck.
It's okay.
I need more coffee.
We're out.
I need more too,
but we're out.
I know we did run out. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. I love this verse. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's by his great mercy that we have been born again. And I love this part. Because God raised Jesus from the dead, now we live with what? Great expectation. We don't live in, apathy. We don't live like we're victimized. We live with great expectation because we have a priceless inheritance. Inheritance is kept in heaven for you, pure, undefiled, beyond the reach of change or decay.
And when Paul tells us to run the race, to win the prize, When you start off, like, I'm not gonna lie, I'm keeping up with the Boston Marathon today. And my, what? But when those runners start off and they're not even a mile into it, what are they thinking about? They're thinking about the finish line.
Right.
They're thinking about, okay, the process of, okay, right, here's my plan. And for some of them, they're gonna get hyped up in the excitement. And they're gonna be looking at their watch like, holy cow, I've come off too fast.
Right.
I've gotta slow it back down.
Right.
I've gotta stay the course.
Yep.
I've gotta stick with what my plan is. Because their focus is on the end of the race. Their focus is on the prize. And they know that if they come out too hot, they're gonna burn up and they're not gonna be able to finish with the intensity they want to. And they're gonna fall apart. This verse here in 1 Peter, that's a prize, you know? And we live with great expectation. We have a priceless inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
Our prize isn't on this side of heaven.
So
we've got to, but we still have to run the race here in a way to win that prize.
Right.
So going back to what you said, we have to live in the kingdom here on earth.
Right.
But so often we just want to kind of go through the motions here.
Right.
And be like, oh, well, I'll live in the kingdom when I get to the kingdom.
Right. You said something interesting where you don't want to start off too hot.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you – I'm not a runner. I'm not a runner at all. And I'm not going to even pretend to be a runner. But I've been reading a lot about running since I'm doing this series.
Right? Look at you.
I know more running about running than I ever
cared
to
know.
You're
getting into my mind.
And so – but I've been reading about the word endurance. And
mm-hmm. –
even though Paul's a genius, he's an absolute genius, because the athletics was huge back in that day, and I don't think people realize this.
Right.
There was a lot of Olympic games. There was marathons, mm-hmm. and I don't have them all together. I know there was Rome. There was a couple other places where they had
Greece.
Yeah, there
were
three different marathons. I was reading about this in Paul's day. So Paul is taking this analogy from those games and from these runners. And here's the thing about these marathons and these runners back in the day. These guys were heroes.
Oh yeah.
These guys were like King Griffey Jr., Michael Jordan. These guys were like, I don't know who, you know, you could pull them out. And these guys were worshiped. It's kind of like like you said, time has not changed.
Right.
So I've been reading a lot about running. And so Paul uses the word endurance a lot. Mm-hmm. And so when I'm reading about running, some of these runners have talked about it's the endurance.
Yeah.
Let's use the eclipse word. It's the totality of the race.
Yes.
It's not like
it's the long haul.
Starting off fast and wearing yourself out in 7 miles.
Right.
It's like, you get to the 17th mile and
you still got gas in the tank.
You got gas in the tank and I can't remember who this is. I have their name written down somewhere. He was talking about running the marathon. And he ran the Boston Marathon in, I can't remember what year, 88, 8 or 9. And he said he got to mile 18. And he said he felt more refreshed, more fueled up. Mindset was totally where it needed to be. He said, just like it was at mile 3.
Oh, wow.
And he said, when he is running, it's not about the physical a lot. It's more about the mental.
It is, absolutely.
And so when Paul talks about, you know, the mind and changing your mind, that is true.
Yep.
We have to be not only physically endure, but we have to be mentally endure too. Because, I mean, you run. I've played athletics. You know, anything that you do, your mind is the first thing that's going to pull you out of the race or pull you out of the game.
Make you think you can't do it. Make you think you don't have anything left. Yeah.
So, very interesting because you don't want to start off too hot because then I mean, people become Christians and they're like, oh, I'm so excited to become a Christian and they're so on fire.
And then they fizzle out.
And then 6 weeks later, where'd they go? I mean, they've been in church for 2 months.
Yep.
They were so hot.
Yeah, ideally, I mean, just stick with the running thing. You know, a lot of runners talk about negative splits. And so the goal, and of course, like Boston is really tough because the first half of the course is pretty flat. And then later on in the course, you get into the Newton Hills and Heartbreak Hill and all of that, where there's more up and down to it. And but negative splits is the fact that you want to run the second half of the race faster than you run the first half of the race. And if you've trained, and if you have the endurance, and if you don't come out too hot, you can do that, and you can do what you were talking about. The guy said, you know, he felt fresh at mile, you know,
like 18 or 19, 18, yeah,
19,
like he did at mile 3,
exactly. And so, but that's the thing is, you know, he's keeping his eye on the prize.
Yep.
And that's what we have to do too, is not get caught up in everything else going on around us, not to deviate from the plan. Well, what's the plan? All scripture is useful for, you know.
Exactly.
It's God's word.
Exactly.
So but when we deviate from the plan, what are we doing? Well, we do what Paul warns us to in Romans 12. We copy the behavior and customs of this world.
Right. And the thing about it is that, God is consistently not just for people listening, but for me and you trying to transform our minds into thinking scripture and weighing life by scripture and keeping our mind on heaven. Mm-hmm. And I wonder how many, like if I pulled people coming into church this Sunday and said, give me how many days of the week did you think about heaven? Mm-hmm. Your home. I'm going to be super honest about this. If 10 people came into church and we had say 300 here Sunday and 10 people told me they thought about heaven 3 times last week.
Yeah.
I would be shocked.
Mm-hmm.
I bet it's lower because we're so into this world. We're so
in the moment,
in the moment, and we're not thinking about, it's kind of like guaranteed people are thinking more about their vacation this summer than they are heaven. But heaven's your home.
Yeah.
And the vacation is not, because vacation's bam, it's going to be over right now. I mean, how many times have you looked forward to going on vacation? I got 7 days. I got 8 days. And you're like, oh my gosh, we go home tomorrow.
Right.
Like, I can't believe we're going to make that trip. Exactly.
Nope, been there, done that.
You almost need 3 weeks to actually have a vacation. You know, it's kind of like...
Can I have 3 weeks? You lead worship while I'm gone?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Grab your hymnals. Turn to page 295. We're going to see verses 1, 2, and 5.
Normally 1, 2, and 4, but if there is a fifth, yeah.
Oh, there's some that had 5. And then you sing the refrain over after every chorus, after every verse, and then you go to the chorus, then there's the refrain, and you bounce it back and forth. Some of them songs took forever.
Mm-hmm.
They say songs today are taking forever. I'm like, how about Bringing in the Sheaves? Bringing in the Sheaves, there's literally, did you know there's like 14 verses to that song?
Yeah.
We're going to sing verses 1, 6, and 12. When we were younger, we were playing Bringing in the Sheaves. I don't know if people are listening, like, what is he talking about? Instead of singing
the sheave.
Exactly. Bringing in the Sheaves, we changed it to Bringing in the Cheese.
I always thought it was sheets. Bringing in the Sheets.
My cousin thought it was Bringing in the Sheeps.
Sheeps. Okay. I didn't know sheeps was plural like that.
I have no idea.
It was sheep either way.
I mean, that's what happens when you're 11, right?
Right. I was like, you know, growing up, you know, we hung clothes on the line a lot. I was like, hey, go bring in the sheets.
Exactly. So when we allow God to, transform our mind, we're not going to conform to the things of this world.
Exactly.
And so when that happens, God's going to show you and I things that we can't even comprehend. And here's the thing about God. We try to put God so much in a box that we don't allow God to be God. And so I love Isaiah 55 verse 9 where it says, just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Meaning, you're never going to outthink God, ever.
Exactly. But isn't it human nature? You know, you talked about that carnal nature yesterday. For us to think that we know better. That was one of the things we talked about last night.
Right.
You know, one of the questions in the marriage series. And it's like, you know, normally we get on the crazy cycle because it's me. Like,
exactly.
I'm not thinking about Allie.
No.
And what Allie, how she feels in this decision or what.
Well, I think it was you last night that said it started here in your mind.
It
like
does.
You start guessing your expectations, your whatever.
And you're having that conversation. I'm having that conversation with Allie in my mind about, well, she did that. Why'd she say that? Why'd she do that? And I'm like, you know, down the road, like 20 steps, she doesn't even know that we're on the crazy cycle. She doesn't even know that she did anything to make me mad, but I've progressed it in my mind so far. It's like,
what's funny is that you're thinking that and she may be thinking something about you. So you're on the cycle. Don't even know you're on the cycle.
Exactly. It's like, I've given her a one way ticket.
So what are you doing? The issue is not the issue.
Exactly. Truth. But I love that. And you underlined, my point there was you underlined my and my, just as the heavens are higher than the earth. So my ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. You know, that's God's ways, God's thoughts.
So I had to ask the question, how do you transform your mind? How do you do it? And I just said, here's the simple way to do it. This is like the Cliff Noted version. You run with your eyes on Jesus, like we talked about last week, and you read God's word. Because I don't know how you live this life without reading the Word of God.
Exactly.
Because so many Christians are trying to run the race and they're literally not reading the Word of God.
Yep.
And I'm not saying just a scripture that you see on Facebook, I read the Word of God. I'm saying you take a chunk of passage, you get some time away with God for 20, 30, 40 minutes and you read this and you allow God to speak to you and to use that word to talk to you. So, and you know what? If you haven't been reading God's word, you know where I suggest you start? Right now today, I'm going to give you 3 suggestions. The book of James, the book of John, or Romans.
Romans, yep.
Just do one of those 3 books. Just start right now today if you haven't been,
have
been reading. How about Proverbs 3 verses 6 through 8? Seek his will in all you do, which is what? Praying, reading the Bible, what God wants me to do, and he will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have I love this part. Then you're going to have healing for your body and strength for your bones.
I love that. You read that, and it's one of those, like, I've heard that passage before,
right?
But I don't think I've heard it like that. And you know, that just healing for your body and strength for your bones.
Exactly. So you have to, yesterday I said, if you're running a race, you have to prepare, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't eat a bag of chips the day before and a box of Twinkies and wash it down with chocolate milk and be like, hey, you know what? I think I'll run the Boston Marathon tomorrow.
It'd be awesome if you could do that, but.
Oh my gosh, that'd be miserable.
People are not built like that.
No, they're not. Not at all. So you have to have some endurance. You have to, strength training. You've got to work at this.
There's a plan to it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I love what Tony Evans said.
Oh my gosh. This is a mouthful, but it's
so
mouthful, correct.
But it's really not as, it's not as hard to understand as you think it is.
No.
He says, when you read the word of God, the words you ingest becomes the word you possess. When you possess the word, then you can declare the word. When you declare the word, then you can see the word. The problem with the American church is we hear the word, but we never ingest the word, and that means we can't possess the word.
So I actually pulled this from a sermon that he was preaching, and you know how he talks.
You want me to do my Tony Evans
impersonation? Was really good, man. He was so good when he did this. So I was
when
like,
you read the word of God. There we go.
Was that the rooster or Tony Evans?
The sun came up again. When you read the word of God, the words you ingest.
Tony Evans is in Dallas right now hearing this, and he's like, you know what? I'm driving to Ohio, and I'm going to punch Brandon.
I can promise you, Tony Evans is not listening.
Wouldn't it be funny if he did?
It would be awesome. If he wants to drive to Ohio, we will put him on a podcast and let him talk.
That would be awesome.
He's like, hey, welcome to Grounded with Tony Evans. Craig and I are going to sit here and drink coffee.
Exactly.
Take it away, Tony. Just,
you talk.
Yeah, but that's so good. We have to, and I love that. You've talked about, and I think it maybe was Tony Evans before, where I've heard that.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was a quote you gave or something. I was listening to him. But I love that you have to ingest the words. Like, we can't just in one ear, out the other.
Yeah.
Like, we have to meditate on them.
Yeah.
We have to ingest them, almost like you're eating. So what do you do?
100%.
When you eat something, what does your body do? It processes it.
100%.
It's not just about in one ear and out the other. You have to process it.
So think about running a race. And you have to fuel while you're mm-hmm. running, correct? But think about running the race and
before,
not fueling.
Before, during, and after. Oh,
but
yeah,
think about while you're running it, where you're like, you're looking at it like, okay, but you have to ingest it for it to actually fuel you, correct?
Yes.
So the word of God will not, if I don't ingest this and have this be a part of who I am, it's never going to take effect in my mm-hmm. life. It's going to be just, like you said, it's going to be like a raindrop hitting me. It's like hitting, bouncing off. Okay, I heard that. So I listened to Romans 12:2, or I listened to where Jesus, you know, says, if you don't forgive others, then your heavenly Father won't forgive you. Well, you have to ingest that.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you ingest that, it's going to do one or two things. You're either one, be like, yes, I want to live this, or two, it's going to convict me to actually do this, to do the things that he has called me to
exactly.
do. So it's really,
Well, that's the thing, you know, you're talking about that. It is about being intentional.
Right.
You've got to put it into practice. You know, I'm running the half marathon in less than 2 weeks. And so when I went running in the rain and wind Friday, I took my hydration pack and I took 2 energy gels. And part of the reason was I don't want to do anything race day that I haven't already done. And so I drank water while I was running, and I took energy gels at the time where I would be taking them on race day. And so you've got to kind of put it into practice. It's not just
right.
knowing what
right.
to do. You actually have to follow through and do it. And so it goes back to that word that you and I've talked about many, 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 many times, and it's being intentional.
Right.
We have to be intentional
right.
about it.
Well, in the first 5 verses of 2 Timothy 3, and where Paul is telling Timothy that there's a group of people, that you should actually stay away from. I really believe that he is describing a group of people who are determining their lives by the quality of their God. Because either God is going to control me through his word, correct, or I'm going to control myself.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, if you're a lover of yourself and you have a form of godliness,
mm-hmm.
who's the God of your world? You are.
Yeah.
You're the God of your world. I think in the second service, somebody actually said you,
yeah.
which was like,
yeah,
not
did.
You, but which I thought was cool.
Mm-hmm.
And you put yourself on the throne. So it's all about you. So even with some of the people that live victimized, that's about you.
Right.
That's about you being the God of your world because you need something, but you're not getting it from God.
Right.
God should take what you should give you what you need for
your, yeah. You're looking for
your
affirmation
life.
From
exactly,
the world.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's not right. So, you know, people have made themselves God. It's kind of like what I want, when I want it. You can't tell me what to do. You can't judge mm-hmm. me. You can't tell me, you know, nothing.
Right.
And so that's where yesterday I said, have you ever said, or have you ever heard somebody said, well, this is my truth.
Mm.
There's no more selfish
that
statement on
right.
the planet.
Exactly.
Than my truth. Well, here's my truth. Here's what my God says.
Right.
Really? Really? But I love Jesus's prayer.
Mm. Yeah.
In John 17, because that disqualifies my truth, right? 15 through 17,
yep.
He says, I'm not asking that you take them out of the world. He's talking about us. But to keep them safe from the evil one. Basically, you're going to go through some stuff, but God, keep them safe from
these
Satan. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. And here's what he says in verse 17, I love. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is the truth. It's the truth of God's word. Not the truth of the world, not the truth of the culture, not the truth, your truth. It's the truth of God. So whatever the government, whatever a friend, whatever the CEO says, whatever, you know, a relative says, you have to, and it goes against God's word, you have to weigh that against God. And who's wrong if it goes against exactly. God's word? They are not God. And so, you have to be very, very careful about those things. So,
I love the reminder in Romans 8:31. And this is what we need to cling tightly to. It's like, what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? And that's where we just got to keep our focus on God.
Yep.
You know, and so often we want to take situations into our own hands. Sometimes we just need to allow God to fight our battles
exactly.
for us.
So yesterday I kind of wound this down. I skipped a rock across
the
story.
You did. It's such a great,
And I just wanted to get the main part out, but it's really, we could do a whole sermon series on this, but, Elijah. And so Jezebel steps up in Israel and she becomes the wife of King Ahab. And so she decides that Baal is God. Now, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but she's a priestess in the temple of Baal. And so she declares that if it rains, Baal did that. If it grows, Baal grew that. And if you have it, Baal gave it to you. And so, there's a group of priests.
So does that mean if you don't have it, Baal doesn't like you?
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, it's the same thing that people say about God. Well, God must hate me. God is not, you know.
I know. So there's a group of priests who went against them and went against her and King Ahab, and they told the truth of God, and they were killed. I mean, it's crazy to think. And this is what happens to people. They see something like that happen, and they do exactly what people do in our culture today. They watch these priests get killed because they stood up for God, and then they do exactly what Paul describes in 2 Timothy 3:5. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly, so stay away from them.
Right.
So I went through this whole thing about they went along to get along. So you know what? They're gonna worship Baal in public. They're gonna follow what Jezebel says. You know, they're gonna pray to him. They're gonna acknowledge him. But when they go to their house,
they pray and it's like, oh God, you know my heart. You know,
this is not, I'm just trying to get through the day. And you know what? You can't do that.
Right.
And that happens today in our culture. Same thing. So Elijah walks into King Ahab's in 1 Kings 17:1.
I'd love to meet Elijah.
Oh, me too. He says, as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel lives, the God I serve, there will be no dew or rain during the next few years until I give the word. And I love Elijah because he's basically saying, look, you are going to go through some terrible times and it's not going to change until I give the word.
Right.
And this
he's is pretty much saying, you know, Baal
is
ain't going to be able to do nothing.
Exactly.
Because Baal ain't real.
And so the people who have this form of godliness, they're going through this drought, they're going through this famine. But Elijah is standing strong because he says, Baal's nothing, God is everything. So Jezebel's ticked off, she's mad, she wants Elijah dead, and so Elijah's hiding out by the brook of Kidron, or however you said, is it Kidron?
I say Kidron.
Yeah, I thought.
Like the Kidron Valley.
Yeah, Kidron Valley. And everybody who has a form of godliness couldn't get good water, but here's Elijah. He's being
right
taken care
by
God.
Fresh stream.
I said yesterday, and long before DoorDash, listen to 1 Kings 17:6.
Awesome.
Ravens brought him bread and meat each morning and evening, and he drank from the brook. So Elijah's being taken care of. Now, a lot of times, this is what we got to remember. A lot of times, we don't allow our faith to take us to the place where Elijah is.
Right.
Because we have a form of godliness, but we're going along to get along. So, I'm not making light of any of these things.
Right, right.
Because I know that your house payment, your car payments, schooling, this, that, financially, we're worried.
Right.
That if I take a stand against this issue at my work, that I go against the company policy that the LGBTQ or something else or, you know, this, June 19th or whatever they have. If I go against this, then I could lose my job. But here's the thing you have to remember. Yes, you could, but this is where your faith in God kicks in to where do you trust God enough
right.
that he's going to open something else up for you? Do you trust God enough that he's going to take care of you?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, well, I don't really want to live off a brook and being fed by ravens, but maybe that's what you need.
Right.
And so we have become so Americanized in stuff that stuff has dictated our relationship to God because mm-hmm. we're afraid to stand up for what God wants us to do.
Right.
I know that's really harsh and I know that's not pleasant to hear, but where does this become real? Well, one day the brook dries up, the ravens stop coming, and God sends Elijah to a widow's house.
Mm-hmm.
And so 1 Kings 17, verses 10 through 14, I love this. This is such a great part of the story.
Mm-hmm.
Elijah says, "Would you please bring me a little bit of water in a cup?" And as she was going to get it, he called her, "Bring me a bite to eat of bread too." But she said, "I swear by the Lord your God that I don't have a single piece of bread in the house. And I only have a handful of flour left in the jar and a little bit of cooking oil in the bottom of the jar. And I was just gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal and then my son and I will die." She's like planning on dying. This is it for us.
All she has.
We're done. Yeah. We are done. But Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid." Now, this is the thing I love about the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
There's, how many times is mentioned in the Bible? Don't be afraid. Don't fear. It's always said, don't be afraid, because this woman's afraid. And Elijah's like, look, don't be afraid. Go ahead and do just what you've said, but make a little bread for me first. How about this?
Mm-hmm.
"Then use what's left to prepare a meal for yourself and for your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There will always be flour and olive oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again."
Mm.
So he's taking care of her. So now, with a conformed mind, you would think that this is the most selfish thing that you could ask this woman to do, to take her last bit of food, take it away from her and her son. But with a transformed mind, this woman, thinking about God, the greatest thing that this woman did is give all she had to God. Think about that.
Yeah.
I mean, she had to believe in God to do mm-hmm. this, to believe that this is a man of God and this is the absolute truth. And so I'm telling you, when you're running this race,
mm-hmm.
man, there's a lot involved. I mean, you play a sporting event, you run a marathon, correct me if I'm wrong, there's a lot involved. There's a lot of components involved. It's just not running on the track.
Correct.
It's not running on the road. It's not running on the path. There's a lot involved in this. So you and I have got to get to the place where we have allowed God to affect our hearts and our minds. And next week we're going to find out what our fuel source is for our lives when we're running. Cause I think it's
Gatorade.
Could be.
I don't drink Gatorade.
It could be Gatorade. I don't know.
Yeah.
Could be.
I'll come back next week to figure it out.
Could be pretzels. It could be
Ooh.
Bacon. It could be
avocados.
Could be avocados. It could be strawberries.
Could be God's word.
Could be espresso. Could be God's word.
Ooh, could be espresso.
Yeah.
That's good. That's exciting.
Yeah. So, but it was a good day yesterday.
It was a very good day.
Good times. Good times had by all. Well, maybe not by all, but.
Well, you know, not by Tom. Who got stung by a.
Who got stung, yeah, right?
Yellow jacket.
So, just wanted to let you guys know a couple things. The 2024 parking lot project is underway. We got the first part done, with the, extension of the, what do you call that? The walkway into the
patio. I don't
patio,
know.
Yeah. But if you'd like to continue to help out with this project, you can, drop a designated check into the offering safe in the hallway on Sundays, or you can use the parking lot project envelope on Givelify on our website. So you can do that. The worship ministry highlight this month is, or the ministry highlight is Worship and Tech.
Yes.
And so if you're interested in serving in that area, you can contact
me.
This guy right here, or you can go to richwood.church/volunteer. Walk for Life is coming up May 4th. That's coming down the road, bro. 9:30 to 12:30. Mm-hmm. And you can still register at newpathprc.com. Exactly. And then Round Lake Camp is coming up. Registration.
Fill it up fast.
Yeah, so.
Always does.
If you want to go to the kids, children's ministry side of the building, there's a parent information board in the children's welcome center, and you can pick up an anchored scholarship code card. Yeah. And you can you can find registration on roundlake.org. The scholarship code must be entered at the same time of the registration, because this is a good deal for parents, right?
It is very good deal. Christian went last year. And between what the church covers and what the scholarship covers.
You only cover like a third, right?
Yeah, it's great.
So the church covers a third, the scholarship covers a third, and then you have to pay the other third. Yeah, it's a really good deal, actually, so. Also, just wanted to put a bug in your all ear. Did you know that this year is the 30th anniversary for RCC being on this property in this building?
I did know that.
You did know that, right? Did know that. So here's a bug in everybody's ear who's listening. I want you to set aside the date of Sunday, November the 24th. We are going to have a humongous celebration because that is the actual Sunday. That was the first Sunday that they met here 30 years ago. So we're going to celebrate that day and celebrate some of the highlights and, who knows what will happen, but just mark that date. Hopefully we'll have a big dinner together and, just kind of celebrate what God's going to do, what he's done in the past, but look to the future and where we want to go. So
it's crazy to think about the fact that like by the time that rolls around, I will have been here on staff for a year less than half of that time. I guess I'm
really
the old man now.
Really? Yeah, you are. And I've been here...
Six?
Be six coming up, yep. Mm-hmm. I'll be in my seventh year.
I'm in my 13th.
Really?
Yeah.
You're a lifer, aren't you?
I don't know. Whatever God has in store. You know, we're going to be 100 and how old doing this podcast?
In 2099, you said 114, I'll be 134.
We'll just be young spring
chickens. Welcome to Grounded Mark. With... What's your name?
With us.
Right.
We're like those two old guys on the Muppets.
We're drinking. Hemisphere went out of business 40 years ago. It's like,
yeah, but we're going to have it stored up. Like in our
We will be like those old guys on the Muppets.
On the Muppets.
This is the worst podcast I've ever listened to.
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, right.
I hope we have went on to glory by then.
Me too.
Yeah, if not, I hope God's feeding us with ravens or bald eagles. They'd be even cooler.
We'll be sitting by the brook of Kidron and being fed the meat from ravens. And yeah, gotcha.
Yeah.
So, what else before we sign off here?
I don't know. Looking forward to a good week. Weather's looking good. Mowed my yard for the first time Saturday.
Yeah, I could re-mow it. I mowed Saturday too.
It was windy, so like I'm mowing in certain directions and the wind's like blowing straight on me.
Exactly.
My eyes were itching for like 4 hours.
Grass is growing right back in your face. I had a little grass everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah, it was like crazy. Yeah,
I was wearing a black sweatshirt and so it was like, I was green and black.
Right?
But it's nice and green and pretty.
It is very nice outside. Today's beautiful. So if you guys have a chance to get out, enjoy this weather. This is probably one of the days that's going to be one of my favorite days of the year.
Oh, man. That means we're going to be down to 10 days. No.
Let's count them up. Now the clock is like boop, 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 boop.
It is. It's like counting down to misery for me.
Countdown to misery. I like that. I like that.
It's like a sermon series that I'm living in.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I found it very interesting that we didn't really plan like run the race just happened. You were like, hey, what about this? And I was like, oh, I like it. Didn't really think that it's like getting into spring marathon season and track season is underway and
the Boston Marathon's
today. So the dude running the Boston Marathon in the professional field, I don't even know, in Guji or something, NGUGI. He looks like he's pulled away from everybody. But there he is on the left. See him?
Wow, that would be me.
And then on the right is the women's professional group. They're like all hugged together. Now they're not as far as the men's professional. He's been running for an hour and 50:17. So I'll bet you anything, he's getting close. Like he'll finish in just over 2 hours.
Really?
Yeah, he's cooking. But the women are all bunched up.
I'd be like that 96-year-old guy. I finished in 12 hours and 32 minutes.
Right.
Right. You could probably walk it that fast, couldn't you?
You'd have a motorized scooter.
Could do that.
And you're like, is this illegal? Yeah. Who cares?
I could probably do that. I could do the Boston Marathon on my bike.
You could.
Take me 25 minutes now to you.
Right. The wheelchairs. I was watching the wheelchair.
That's actually pretty impressive.
Finished in like an hour and 13 or something like that, maybe.
That might 15? Be as difficult, actually. Think about it.
Oh, I can't imagine their hands.
Oh, they got those souped up gloves.
Just constant. Like their biceps and triceps, like their triceps have to be like burning.
We should do that. We should do that sometime. See,
a wheelchair race?
Yeah. Cause I bet that's, that's pretty tough. I'll guarantee you that.
For sure.
That would take some mental capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Anyway, so what about you? Anything?
I know, man. I gotta finish out this series, and because after this series, we start another series called "The Miracles of Jesus," and that's going to be cool.
And we're coinciding with what they're doing on the children's ministry side, so that's going to be exciting.
When we start on Mother's Day, the 12th, "The Miracles of Jesus," they're going to be talking about the same thing. So, yeah. Parents and kids will get
that's
going
to be cool to kind of hear, like, "Hey, you go on home for lunch. Are you going to talk about that?" Like,
yeah.
I hope that parents do. Like, yeah, they have those conversations.
Cool. Yep, that'll be really cool. So. Yeah. So I hope you guys have a good week. Hope you get out, enjoy the sunshine.
Yeah,
absolutely. And hope you have a very good week too.
Thank you.
Get your run in.
It's my last week of pretty intense, not it's super intense. I'm going to tail it back a little bit from last week, but last week of kind of higher mileage before next week, I'll start to kind of take it easy. Taper is what they call it. But the professional term.
Taper.
I'll taper a little bit. I'll actually probably start to taper toward the end of this week a little bit, but.
Yeah, I tapered off last week.
You did, and the week before.
And the week
before that.
I think I started tapering off in 86. It's awesome. It's been pretty much about a 38 year taper off.
It has been.
Yeah. I've tapered off a long time ago.
You have, since I was one.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, hey everybody, thanks for listening. We hope you have a great day.
Hope you taper off.
Taper off. Have a great one.